Welcome to But I'm a Lesbian, the podcast where we serve alt baddie sass, queer film reviews, and everything in between. Whether you are baby gay
or a queer elder, we're here, we're queer, and we're diving deep into all things lesbian. We're your hosts, Caitlin
and Angelina.
Get ready for some sapphic serotonin. Okay, I'm really excited about today's episode. I feel bad because I feel like people can tell when we're like, we're going to do this movie. And then we're like, oh my God. But you know what? Some people like it and I respect their opinions. But this movie I really, really like. So I'm very excited about it. And this is also exciting because this is going to be my first time hearing Angelina's input on it, her opinions, because she hadn't seen it before when I would talk about it.
Yes, I only saw the very famous scene.
Yeah. Okay, so today's episode is about the 2017 film Disobedience. It features two famous and very gorgeous Rachels, Rachel McAdams and Rachel Weisz. Rachel Weisz loves to make gay movies.
She does.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, did you see that they're now making another Mummy movie and she and Brendan Fraser are going to be in it?
Yeah, that's what Hua was saying.
She's so excited. My wife is so excited.
She was like, I think I'll watch it because if she's in it, okay.
She's like, wow. She just keeps getting more beautiful. And I'm like, yeah, first of all, you always think that the older women are, the more beautiful they are. And secondly, when Rachel Weisz first started to get popular, she had the tiny 90s eyebrows.
Because I don't remember her with that.
In The Mummy, her eyebrows were so tiny. And now she has like these beautiful full eyebrows. I don't know. Anyway, eyebrows go through phases. Because in that I would get, when I was like 11, my mom started like taking me with her to get my eyebrows waxed. I would get them waxed so small. And then I don't think until I was like, probably like 2009, I started filling them in. I didn't do anything like that.
So you would just get them waxed and then you would like—
They were just tiny like Pamela Anderson. And then I got them tattooed on, you guys. So now I don't have to do anything.
They're fun. I want to do that. I was telling Yami like, I need to do that. I'm missing part of this right here from when I used to like—
You should do it. But you can't go to my girl because she is a Trumpy now. So I have
Oh, you're saying you can't go to my girl because that's my girl.
No. She was like, the only one in the area that did them. They're ombre powder brows.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. I really liked her. And she turned into a Trumpy. So I have to find a new person to go to.
You don't do your eyebrows ever? They just always look like that?
Well, no. My wife tweezes them for me because they grow outside of the thing. Yeah. One time she does my mustache for me too. And she's recently started like getting hairs out of my nose.
Oh, like right there.
And I was like, I don't grow hairs there. And she's like, yeah, they're sticking out of your nostrils.
She's like, it's embarrassing.
And then one time she was like, she uses a little face shaver and she was like shaving up here on my face. And I was like, babe, I don't have hair there. She's like, what is this?
She's like, there's hair.
I'm like, oh my God. I went so many years of my life thinking I didn't grow hair there. So that was sad. And she's always, whenever she's like, I need to get your mustache, babe. I'm like, oh my God, so embarrassing. How do you even love me? Anyway, she's always like, we're all mammals, babe.
Oh, that's so cute. So sweet.
But I do grow really aggressive. Like, I have two white whiskers that grow in, and they've been growing in like white since I was like 22.
I have a white whisker right here. Oh my God. Sometimes it's really hard to see it because you don't see it when you're like doing it. And then one time I like turned and I was like, the fuck is that? It was so fucking long. And I felt so embarrassed. And I was like, oh my God, I like can't believe that I've walked around like this my entire life. Now I'm always like looking for it. And it was so, oh my God. I'm just like,
Yeah.
I'm like, you will never get that long ever again. No. You will be gone.
It's karma for me because I used to make fun of my Grammy because she had like a mole here. And it would grow a hair out of it. And I would be like, oh my God, you're like a witch.
And then now it's
a little shit. And now I have white whiskers growing out. But now
it's cool to be a witch.
That's true.
So
It was when like I only thought of witches. This was when I was like 5. Okay, so it was before I like saw Practical Magic and The Craft. I thought of like, you know, the evil witches from like Disney movies.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They always had like a like scary like hair.
Like they a had big like mole a chin and the and hair a mole was a like, hair. Yeah.
Anyway, don't know why I started talking about that. So this film is set in an Orthodox Jewish community in London. In the movie, the two had a teenage romance that ended because one of them left the, you know, close-knit little community. Mm-hmm. This could be traumatic. Did you grow up religious and or are you still religious?
I'm extremely religious now, honestly.
You're like, surprise, surprise.
I'm like, I'm so religious, guys. No, we didn't grow up very religious. My family is Catholic, but the only one that was super religious was my grandma because she would like pray a lot and everything else. But it wasn't like she was trying to get everybody to be Catholic and like very religious as well. She just had like, that's like the most religious thing. And she had a lot of like Jesus and Virgin Mary saints and like all these like stuff everywhere. Yeah. And I still have some of her stuff. So like part of my thing looks like the middle part of it is just very like religious. And then the rest of my shelves are like.
Oh, like in your house.
Yeah. My thing, it's like all her stuff. But no, we did go to church a couple times, but we never like went frequently, nor was I like told to pray a lot or anything, or, you know, like it was there and it would happen sometimes, but it wasn't like you need to do this. Like this is like part of us.
Did you do all the things? Like,
no,
you were
I'm not baptized. No.
You're not baptized?
No, they baptized.
I don't know why I'm acting like
I know
that.
You're so, like, oh my
it's
God.
Just because Catholics baptize as babies.
Yes.
And when in my religion, my sect of Christianity, whatever, you didn't get baptized till you were older. So that's why I was surprised. Because I was like, you said you're like, Catholics, oh my God. And you're not baptized?
Well, my mom isn't baptized, but my older sister is not baptized either. But my middle sister, that she's older than me, she was baptized as like a child. But then when it got to me, they were going to baptize me, but then they didn't, I guess. Oh. And then we tried to do it when I was a teenager, but I was like, I don't really want to like memorize this, or nor do I really like want to. And they were like, all right. Yeah. I'm like, none of you guys are baptized either. So that's, I'm like, so it doesn't really, yeah. It's only one of us. And yeah, so weird. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Are you baptized?
No. So actually, my mom's dad, so my paternal grandpa, was a preacher in the Church of Christ, which is, I don't know if I would say famously, but it's pretty, like, known that they hate the gays. It's pretty anti-LGBT. So it was interesting because when I came out, he was still alive, but my mom said, don't tell Papa Void. And he actually died like a year later, I didn't really have to tell him. Anyway, I went to that church when I was like little, but my mom wasn't that into it. So there would be like periods of time where we would go.
Like
and
on and
we
off,
wouldn't.
Right? Yeah.
I don't believe in God. I remember thinking that at some point we were going to, it was going to be revealed that like, it was like Santa, right? Like, this isn't real. That never happened. Then I found out that people really do believe in God. So I was like surprised, like honest to goodness surprised, because I thought that it seemed like a fairy tale.
Yeah.
Even at a
young age, you were just like, this is.
Yeah, I thought we were like going through the motions. Like, there's the Easter Bunny, there's Santa, there's Jesus. I didn't get it.
There's going to be.
I was like, what? And then I realized like, oh, because my parents would say they believed in Santa, right? But then as you get older, they're like, no, not real.
Like, of course not. Yeah.
And that didn't really happen. I mean, yeah. So anyway, it is interesting because as I get older, not that I am religious at all, like, I don't really think that there is necessarily like a God or some sort of like higher being, but I do think that there is something like after you die, which is like, for a long time in my atheism, I was like, nothing happens when you die, like, there's just nothing. And and then I remembered my grandpa, not the preacher one, different grandpa, when he like died because he had a heart attack or something, and then they brought him back to life, he said that he was in this peaceful place and he saw his brother and da da da, and he was like upset that they brought him back. And then he actually like for real died like years later, he was talking to his brother that had died years before, and my grandma saw him like, and he's like, yeah, he's right there, like, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, you could attribute that to, like, he's probably on a lot of drugs because he was on hospice.
Yeah.
But also, I do think there's something to be said for there being some sort of, like, an afterlife. And I like to hope, right? I hope that I hope that my animals that have passed are with my Grammy because she was such a huge animal lover. And I hope that, you know, there's a place. She would always tell me, like, there has to be a heaven for animals, Caitlin, because I think in the Bible, something says that there isn't for animals. Like, animals are not like humans. Mm-hmm. But she was always like, no.
She's like, no, there has to be for animals. Something.
Yeah, so I always hope that there is some sort of afterlife and my Grammy is there with all of her chihuahuas and poodles that
and
she had.
And all of your babies.
And all of my babies and she'd take care of them. But yeah.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. And yeah, as I – yeah, definitely as I get older, I am more like – oh, I think that, like, Snape, our cat, like, I think he sent us Juniper. And I feel like that sounds so, like, cheesy, but I'm like, I don't know. I think that, like, Boo Boo sent us Sailor. Like, I don't know. So there's something, I think, but I'm not religious and I've never been a church person.
Yeah.
So, same. Yeah. Anywho, okay. Do you have a hot take or burning desire that you want to share about this movie? I'm dying to know.
Okay, so as we were talking earlier, when this movie first came out, I was definitely on all the comments, all the like reviews of it, and a lot of people that surprised me. They thought that a very famous the spitting scene was super explicit, shouldn't happen, it was disgusting, but I really enjoyed it. So that could be a hot take to you know, other people. What's your hot take?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I said this movie is so fucking good. It goes against my usual hatred of movies directed by men.
Oh.
It's a man, a straight man directed this, and I was shocked because I do not think that that sex scene was like too much. I think that it was pretty realistic. Obviously, not everybody spits in each other's mouths, but I liked that there was this like kink factor because I think that we also like we don't want to over-sexualize lesbian sex scenes. But also I don't think we want to sanitize them to be like, oh, they're just like so chaste and they're just like, mwah, mwah. Like, no, like they're getting like down and dirty.
Yeah.
Like, and so I liked it. And then when I looked it up and it was directed by a straight man, I was very surprised because I feel like he did a really good job. I don't feel like it was creepy, like blue is the warmest color. I don't feel like he exploited them. And I have not heard anything. I mean, hopefully they had some sort of an intimacy coordinator as well.
They must have, hopefully.
But I thought the sex scene was very realistic. Another thing that I liked about the sex scene was that Rachel McAdams kept, like, her top on.
Yeah.
And but we do see her boobs at another point in the scene. But I do wonder if it's, like, in the contract, like, boobs only one time.
I think about that, too. But, and they do that where they do that. They do that where they say, like, they'll have one scene where, like, you know, in the real – no, the L word.
The real L word, they were just for real fucking on the camera.
They were fucking for real. Yeah. But on the L word, Jennifer Bills had in her contract that she would never show her boobs. So everybody else on the show showed her boobs, damn minus it. Her. So, like, when they would do her sex scenes, you notice, like, she would either be, like, pressed against Tina or the carpenter.
Candace.
So that must have been in the contract.
Yeah. But, I thought that was hot because, to me, I don't know, I think this is more realistic in, like, they were going to this hotel. They were like, oh, my God, like, we have to go to this place because we're, like, so horny for each other. Like, we have to fuck. And then when it, like, happened, like, it's like, we don't need to take this top off. Like, I got to where
I got to where I need to be. Yeah.
And I thought that it was hot and I thought that it was, like, kind of more realistic and I liked that. And also, yeah, that reminds me that Lisha Haley's boobs were shown so much on the L Word.
Yes, they were.
She has really big boobs for being so skinny.
She does.
I just remember noticing that.
See, we always find a way to bring the L Word. And the real L Word more recently.
But there have been a few episodes, I think, that we didn't talk about it. And I was thinking about it and I was like, oh my God.
Like, I should have talked about it. I should have brought it up.
I'm not obsessed with the L Word anymore. No, I am. We also saw Shane's boobs a lot.
We did. Yeah, we did.
I have a... I don't know. Everybody has, like, envy for the things they don't have, right? Like,
so you wish you had her boobs?
Yes! She could wear anything, and she never has to wear a bra. When I don't wear a bra, you guys, it looks like
not yet to you, but yeah.
It looks like my Grammy, you know? Like, they just – the gravity has pulled them down. They were never that perky because they were always big. But as I've gotten older, they've gotten less perky. And I always think of this part in that The Sweetest Thing movie with Cameron Diaz.
Oh,
she's like 22, 28. 22.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh no, that's like,
you're like, wait,
going farther down. Anyway, so it would be really nice.
That is a if sign of like wisdom.
So small. Yeah. Yes. Psyche breast disease. Remember there was that, there was like that song, the do your ears hang low, and people would sing it about like, do your boobs hang low. Yeah.
But that's okay. Bring back body shame people saggy boobs.
Back in the day. Yeah. I love saggy boobs. Just not my own. This is also a thing that's hard about being gay, I think.
Yeah.
On other people, things it's that beautiful. Are you beautiful love
it. Yeah.
And sexy. But then on myself, it's like, ugh. Like, what the hell? Like, I wouldn't care if someone has cellulite. I think that that is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And stretch marks and blah, blah, blah. But then on myself, I'm like, oh, this is so embarrassing. I have cellulite.
You have to, like, take that and, like, separate it from yourself. Think of your boobs and everything else as, like, something separate. And then you can, like, start to appreciate it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm so glad that I got to hear your hot take. So we're going to take a quick break now. And when we get back, we'll get into the recap. So get ready for a lot of drama and a lot of descriptions of longing. Okay. So we open on an old rabbi leader. We find out he is the Rav, that's the senior rabbi, giving a talk to his members, like in the church, synagogue?
The synagogue, congregation.
Yeah. He collapses in the middle of it and everyone rushes to help him. And then we move from that to a totally different setting and we see Rachel Weiss, who is named Ronit, in her photography studio, and she's photographing heavily tattooed elderly people. So that's cool. I think they're trying to show she does kind of edgy things.
Yeah.
I don't know. So someone else that works in the building calls to her and calls her Ronnie. So she goes by Ronnie now, but we find out that her name is Ronit. That's what everyone at home calls her. And the person is like, you need to speak to this man, Ronnie. And then they don't show what happens next. And then we cut to seeing her in a bar, getting drunk, and then having sex with a man in the bathroom. And it was just funny because my wife was like, I thought this was a lesbian movie. I was like, I think she's bi. I think so. Like, not everyone's a lesbian. There's just there's a gay love story. But anyway, it was just funny because she's like, oh, why is she fucking her
in the bathroom? Yeah.
It's like, don't. It gets better, babe. It gets better. then we see her going ice skating by herself, and she looks all sad. And then in the locker room of the ice rink, she tears her shirt, which I feel like was dramatic. And we see later that the very, very, like, Orthodox Jewish community that she's from, they have to be – the women have to be very modest. Yes. So I think that the tearing the shirt was, like, she's frustrated, but also, like, she is, like, free. Like, because if she were at home, she would have to be covered up all the way. Which also makes me think of my wife because I think I talked about how she thinks it's scandalous to show clavicle. So she's probably like, what the fuck are you wearing, babe?
She's like,
clavicle and cleavage? Girl.
And your legs, oh my God.
Yeah, I know. She's like, what are you doing? And so then we see her on a flight. And so we're like, okay, she found out some sort of news.
Yeah.
She's going somewhere. We find out that her father was the old man that died, the Rav. She arrives home in London in this very religious town. Neighborhood within London. She arrives at the house and David sees her. So this is, we find out, was a friend of hers when she was younger, and he's very close with her dad. He is like a rabbi now.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, we weren't expecting you. And she goes to hug him, but he doesn't let her. And I think this is probably because she's a woman and he's married.
Yeah,
I think she's not allowed to hug
him. In general, they're like – when he's walking, he, like, makes sure to, like, not even bump into the other women. He's just, like, you know. Yeah. So it's, like, the contact is, like, forbidden.
I kind of understand because hugs are kind of, like, your boobies are pressed against this person.
True. I usually do, like, a side hug or something.
Yeah. When someone you don't want to hug, like, goes to give
hugs
you a hug.
Hugs you and they're,
like, those guys that are, like, where's my hug at? And you're, like, oh.
I'm like, oh my God.
See, because I feel like they're like, press your boobs up against me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Weird. Anyway, So the she comes into the house. Everyone's kind of looking at her. So we can gather, like, they didn't expect her, mm-hmm. like David said, and that they haven't seen her in a long time. One of her aunts greets her and is, like, super excited. But then the uncle comes up and he seems, like, not excited.
Yeah.
So we're like, oh, okay. In the kitchen, David gives her some coffee and offers her to stay, like, with him. And his family, instead of getting a cab to a hotel, because mm-hmm. she was like, I'm just going to get a cab. And he's like, no, you should, like, stay with us.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, my God, like, are you married now? Who did you marry? And they're, like, joking about it. Ha, ha, ha. And then Rachel McAdams comes in mm-hmm. to the kitchen, and her name is Esty. Mm-hmm. And she starts to, like, clean something up or whatever. And she's like, no, it's fine. David's wife will get it. And then there's, like, this awkwardness. And then she realizes that Esty is David's wife.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh. Oh, this is weird.
She's like, oh, you two? Like, oh.
Yeah. And she's like, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah.
And Esty's like, you disappeared. Like, how would I have let you know? Like,
you left
to New York, yeah. Whatever. And so Roni is also upset because she's like, no one told me that my dad was even sick.
You know? Yes. So, I know. That was pretty crazy.
Yes. And so then we see the group of people all walking out of the house together, and David and Esty are leading, but Esty keeps looking back at Roni. Mm-hmm. And I wrote, probably because she loves her.
You could tell when they walked in. She's like, they were both like, oh my God.
I know. I feel like they're good actors.
Yay. Yeah, they are.
Yes, it was giving, like, you felt this, like, electricity. The like, yeah. The, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, damn. Okay, so then Roni reads a newspaper that has, like, her dad's obituary, and it says that he was childless. And she's like, that's fucked up.
That is pretty fucked up.
So because she left the community, she just doesn't count as a person anymore, yeah. apparently. And then she's talking to David, and she's like, you know, you were closer to him than I was, or mm-hmm. whatever. And then she gives David and Esty a book of her photographs, which I thought was really, like, interesting. It was nice of her. It was better than when Tyra Banks gave a picture of herself to Miley Cyrus as a present, but I did think it was still kind of weird to yeah. be like, look, I've been doing stuff. Look at the pictures I took. I don't know.
Yeah.
But at least they weren't of herself. And then we see we see Esty looking sad in her room with David, and she's watching him pray, and then she, like, pounces on him to do sex stuff. And I'm like, she's so obviously trying to prove that she's into him and that she's straight, because yeah. then she starts touching his, like, beard and his mustache, like, oh, I love man.
And he's like,
that's what it was giving.
He was looking at her like, what the fuck
he's
is
like,
wrong
she never
with
wants
you?
To have sex with me.
Yeah.
Okay. But I feel except like for every like, Friday. Okay. Yeah. Only when they, like, are supposed to have
yeah.
sex. Like, yeah. And then we see Roni go to visit her father's gravesite. And then we cut to, like, another day, probably the very next day. We see Esty going into school, and she teaches at the local school now.
Mm-hmm.
We see David talking to some other rabbis, and they seem judgmental about Ronit staying with them. And he doesn't seem to mind that they're being jerks, which is kind of cool. He's kind of like, she's going to stay with me.
Like, she's grieving. Her dad just died.
And yeah. Like, yeah. Like, so I like that he kind of, like, stuck up for her and didn't feed into their, like, weird, like, they wanted to, like, gossip about her. I feel
they
like
did
they wanted
so
to be
badly.
Like, she's scandalous. Yeah. Yeah.
No. She's out of the community.
Yeah.
She's a sinner.
Yeah. And so we see Esty and David have sex, and it feels kind of awkward because she doesn't seem as into it as him, but that's because she's gay, but we're not supposed to know that
and
yet.
That's where we see her boobs.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I know we do see boobs at some point.
Yeah, she just, like, gets into the bed.
Wait, I wrote that. I think
did you?
Said, then we see. No, I wrote it somewhere. I don't know, girl. Maybe I didn't. Okay, then we see a dinner party with some other members of the group, and they start being haters about Roni going by Roni
yeah.
at work. And I guess she also goes by a different last name. Like, she basically
Roni
like
Curtis or something.
Very, like, Americanized yeah. her name, like, so she doesn't sound Jewish anymore. And Esty kind of sticks up for her and is like, well, women lose our names whenever we marry a man. Like, we yeah. are constantly losing our names. And everyone seems mad at her except for Ronit.
Yeah.
And then she tries to talk to her uncle about the family home. So, like, her dad's home, mm-hmm. like, because she wants to sell it. And he's like, oh, we'll talk about it later. Like, he's not really being helpful.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, At some point, Ronit says, people should stop having so many kids. And I was like, this is me at a party. people don't like that, but Esty laughed. Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay, well, I mean, it's true. And everyone's being haters and telling her she should just get married and that's just the way that it should be. And she's like, I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
And then Esty is like, David, will you please walk her home and I'll like finish up here. And so David goes and like is walking her home. Esty catches up with them and sees them having like a sweet, kind of like a heart-to-heart type of moment. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember exactly what they talk about. I think about the dad.
I think so. I think it was the dad.
Yeah. Then we cut to the next day and we see Ronit going to a wig store. Just so you know, all the married women wear wigs in this community. Mm-hmm. They are called Chitel wigs and it's due to modesty. So it's like probably Ronit shouldn't be wearing the wig because she's not married and she's trying on the wigs. And then I think her uncle owns the store because then he comes in and takes her to the office. And he's like, seems annoyed that she's wearing the wig. Yeah. And I think it's like
he's like, stop fucking around.
Yeah, like her like making fun or something. So in case you didn't realize, Esty wears the wigs like all the time because she's married, right? The uncle gives her the keys to the house so she can get personal possessions from the house. And that's when she finds out that her dad did not leave the house or anything to her. Like nothing goes to her. He left everything to the synagogue.
Yeah.
So she's like, well, that's kind of fucked up. And then the uncle is like, I'm going to take this time to shame you some more. So he's like, you should have come back and taken care of him. A man needs his children to take care of him.
By his deathbed.
Blah, blah, blah. And she's like, nobody told me. Like, I literally didn't know. So she's sad. And then Esty and Ronit run into each other in town and they go to the Rav's house, so Ronit's childhood home, to get anything she wants slash needs. And then they listen to The Cure and they talk and it's perfect because it's like, whenever I'm alone with you, you make me feel like I'm fun again. And it's like, oh, made me want to cry because it's like.
It was so sweet.
Yeah, because like Esty has like, obviously, you know, she's married to David. We don't know how she feels about that or not. But like, you can tell that she.
She's so depressed. You can see like she's literally like.
This is like she's being herself a little bit when her favorite person comes back. And so Ronit tells Esty she doesn't think she's going to go to the Hesped, which is a eulogy for her father. And she asks Esty if she thinks she should go back early. And Esty kisses her hands and touches her heart and says, no, I don't want you to leave at all. And then they kiss. And I said, it's so hot, in my opinion. And then Ronit stops it before more happens and says she's sorry. Then they go downstairs and they're about to leave, but then Ronit kisses her again. And Esty tells her, I just want you to know that I'm the one that made sure you were notified about your dad.
Yeah.
And Ronit's like, okay, I need some air. And then while she's outside, Esty steals the fancy candlesticks from the house because I feel like she wants to give them to Ronit. And then they walk home. And while they're walking home, Ronit is like, why did you get married? And Esty's like, your dad, the Rav, talked me into it. She's like, I was heartbroken and mentally ill when you left, and I was pressured into marrying him. He said, you need to marry a man. And she figured, this is my best friend, so if I'm going to marry a man, it should be him, you know? And she's like, I chose him, even though I don't want to ever have sex with a man, but I have to, right? Because especially, like, the Rav is like, there is something wrong with you if you don't.
Yeah.
Do this if, like, you know, you're going against your religion. Esty asks Ronit if she's been with other women, and she says, no, not really. And then she asks Esty if she's been with other women, and she says, no. And she's like, but do you still only fancy women? And she was like, yeah.
She's like, yeah.
And I'm like, oh,
she's okay, like, I'm so a lesbian.
She's a lesbian, but she is stuck in this marriage with a man because of her religion. And then they share a cigarette and then we see them in the park holding hands and it gets dark and they go to this like tennis area of the park and they kiss more. And then they kind of get caught by these lamos that are like, oh, we're going to play some tennis. And they're like total narcs. So they kind of saw that Ronit was with someone, but they like, Esty like puts her hood on and like speed walks away. So they're like, maybe we didn't get caught. I don't know. And then she's like, the lady, I don't even remember her name, this narc bitch, was like, was that Esty? And she's like, no. She's like, no.
But she said it's so obvious, though, because she's like, no.
I know.
I'm like, girl, you can't lie better than that.
No, I guess like, not. Yeah. Then we see Esty freaking out about getting caught, and she's like crying in the shower. And David knocks on the door, and he's like, what happened? And she gets out of the shower to hug him. And then we see her at school, and she gets called to the principal because those tennis people tattled on her. They're in their office. Yeah,
they're in the fucking office. Yeah, I was like,
they're probably
whoa.
Like, she's gay, and I don't want her teaching my children because she's going to teach them to be gay. And it's like, that's so stupid. I never had anyone teach me to be gay, and I'm very gay. So
I wish someone taught me how to be gay.
I know. If you want lessons, I can try to teach you. But I'm just saying, people be gay without anybody teaching us.
Yes.
Okay, so then we cut to seeing David being offered the rav's job. So they wanted him to be like the boss of the rabbis. Mm-hmm. And then we go back, we see Esty leaving school, and Ronit went to meet her. So she's like standing outside of the school. And then she says she got in trouble and they need to stop this. And Ronit's like, okay, I'll leave tomorrow. And it's sad because Esty loves her, but she doesn't want to blow up her life. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, we should go somewhere else. And so they take a train, and it's like, they're obviously going to have sex. And like, I don't know. I feel like they're really good actors because when they were like, what?
I loved the part when they were like, let's just get away from here. And they like took the metro subway, right? And then they like, you can tell they're in a different area, and they like kind of looked at each other, and then they held hands because they felt safe enough to do without, you know, people like looking. And they were like, you know, they are very good actors.
Yes, because also when they were like on the subway or whatever, like the way they were looking at each other, I was like, oh, they know. Like,
and
they're like, we're
kissing
gonna,
in
like,
the alley. Yes. And then they were like,
yes. Yeah. And I was like, aw, they're so into this. And it's me
y'all,
so into
they're gonna
it.
Fuck.
I was like, oh, so cute. And so then, so, okay, they hold hands and they kiss in an alley, and then they get a room, and they look so excited to go into the room. And I love it because they're just like, they're just so excited.
Yeah.
And then they have sex, and the famous spitting scene happens. So basically, they're doing sex stuff, and then Rachel McAdams is on the bottom and Rachel Wise is on the top. And I think, if I recall correctly, Rachel Wise is like, come on, do it. And then she spits in her mouth.
Yeah, I think. Twice. She does. They like, she stands over her, and then like Rachel McAdams, where she's like laying over her, and Rachel McAdams like opens her mouth. Esty opens her mouth, and then Ronit like spits in her mouth. But it's not like a like spit at you. It's like she's letting the spit like go into her mouth. And
yeah,
it's like
I don't
a very
know.
Like sensual
sexy.
Thing. Yeah. But I feel like when I say like spit, it's like I'm spitting at you.
No, it's not like giving that. Like, it was like such a like, it was like giving very like kinky, but like light, like cause still loving.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
It was
that's
giving like, oh, we choke each other. And like, it's kind of kinky, but like, it's not like,
violent, I choke you
like
out.
I'm gonna
or
choke you. Like, I don't know. Like, yeah. I just felt
no,
like,
it was like the right mix.
Yes, that's why I was so surprised that a straight man directed this, because I was like, this seemed so not gross and weird to me. Yeah. I don't know.
We learned something new. Men can learn to not be gross.
Yeah. I told my wife, and she looked him up, and she's like, oh, he's Argentinian. So somehow that makes
it better.
Makes
it
better. She's like, he might be
he's more cultured than an American.
But he's Argentinian, so it's better. Yeah. And so then they are talking about like Ronit's life in New York, and Esty's like, I thought about it like a lot. I would think about like, you know, what you're doing and da da da. They talk about how the Rav walked in on them when they were young. So that is how the Rav knew and like, you know, tried to, you know, basically forced Esty to marry David because like, oh, you're gay. I saw you doing stuff with my daughter.
Yeah. And that's why Ronit left the community at a very young age.
And so Ronit takes pics of Esty, and let's talk about the L word again. It reminds me of when Shane and Molly were together, and Shane was taking the pictures of Molly like in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm so cute. And so we see David get home and no one's there. And he's like, well, what the fuck?
He's like, it's Friday. We're supposed to fuck.
Yes. And then Esty comes home and is like, oops, sorry, I'm late. And then he tries to have sex with her and she's like, no, thank you. And then she's like, no. And then in the morning, she gets up and throws up in the bathroom. And I'm like, oh, what the fuck? Are they going to say she's pregnant? Because I thought this that is always too, the thing that happens in, you know, movies and shows. They're like, I don't know. I've never been pregnant. But they always, like, that's the first sign. They're like, oh, my God, she's throwing up. She said she doesn't feel good. I bet she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. Then she finds out that Mrs. Shapiro made a formal complaint about her and Ronit. So I guess that's the
headmistress, yeah.
Oh, I thought Mrs. Shapiro was that lady that caught her.
No, that's the principal. Mrs. Shapiro's the principal, like, headmistress lady.
Oh, okay.
And she, like, went to David to be like, so your wife and Ronit were caught kissing. And this is like – like, I'm bringing it to you now so you can get this, like, under control, basically.
Well, I wrote, what a stupid cunt bitch. David is like, just – oh,
David.
David is like
– you Americanized him.
Okay, David is like, just tell me the truth. And she's like, well, I kissed her. And then he gets, like, really mad and, like, grabs her and shakes her and is like, what is wrong with you? But then it's kind of – I'm not saying it's sweet, the domestic violence, but he's like, she's going to hurt you again. And I think that's really sad because they are – you know, they're married, but he knows that Esty loved Ronit and Ronit left her. And he's like, she's going to hurt you again. Like, don't you want this stable life with me? Like, I wouldn't hurt
you think you're
going to
be with her? Like, she's going to leave you for, like, all of her other things and, like, all this other stuff.
Yeah, he's like, she'll go back to New York and to her men. So I feel like they are kind of slut-shaming her, but also, she's not going to be with just you, like, and you're going to be here with me, so don't cheat on me with her.
Yeah.
And she's like, I wanted her to come back. And he keeps trying to blame Ronit for things, and she's like, no, I've always wanted it. Like, I've always
been manipulated.
Yeah, like, she wasn't, like, convincing me of something. Like, I'm gay. I wanted it.
She's like, it's always been this. Yes. You know this.
And so then he seems sad and he slams the door and he leaves. And then we see that Ronit was upstairs and heard them fighting. I didn't realize she was there. So I'm like, oh, how awkward.
She's just sitting on the stairs, like, listening to, like, when your parents fight or something. Yes. You're, like, sitting up there, like.
Awkward. And then she's like, you should leave him. And Esty's like, where would I go? And she doesn't offer to take her to New York, which I thought was kind of sad because I hoped that she would
She'd
offer
like,
that.
Come with me.
But she didn't, so that was kind of weird. And then there's a scene with music only, and we see David and Ronit separately, like, just being sad, like, going about their life, but they look really sad.
Yeah.
And then at dinner that night, it seems, like, really awkward. It's just the three of them, like, in their house. And Ronit's like, I booked a flight, and I'm leaving tonight. Mm-hmm. And Esty is so sad, and David's like, cool.
It's like, yeah, he's finally, like, you can fucking leave.
And so David asks Esty to explain how she's feeling, and she says she can't. Like, he's like, how would you feel? Like, what are you feeling? And she's like, I can't explain it. Like, and then Ronit goes and packs, and on her way out, Esty's so mad and is like, it's easier to leave, isn't it? And she's like, no. But then she still leaves.
I know.
Esty's really mad and, like, slams the door, I think, after she, like, left.
Yeah.
And then Esty leaves in the middle of the night, and she takes a bus to go buy a pregnancy test and takes it to a hotel and then, I guess, takes it there. And then we cut to the airport, and we see Ronit waking up from sleeping. So she just, like, left even though her flight wasn't leaving
till the next day. Yeah. So she's like, this is so fucking awkward.
Yes. And then David calls her and is like, hey, is Esty with you? And she's like, no. And so then she comes back. Like, she didn't get on the flight, right? She and David go looking for Esty. And they're looking for her all day. And David says he wishes Esty never contacted Ronit and that he didn't do it because he was protecting his wife. So he didn't want to contact her because he knew probably that they would, like, get back together.
Yeah.
Then Esty comes down from downstairs, from upstairs. So she must have got home while they were out looking for her. And she comes from down from upstairs and she's like, David, I want you to give me my freedom. Mm-hmm. And also, by the way, I'm pregnant. And he's like happy that she's pregnant because I think that they've probably been trying to have a baby because that's part of like they're supposed to have sex on a certain day, like every week they mention. So I think they've done it, but she hasn't gotten pregnant. So he's like, wow, this is like a blessing.
Until now, right?
Yes. And so he's like, wow, this is like a blessing, you know? And she's like, okay, but like, I don't want to be with you. I don't want my child to be born into this community without choices like I was. And he's like, no, no, I don't want to give you your freedom. And Ronita's like, you should. And he's like, stay out of it. And she says she can't. And so then he leaves. And then we see Esty and Ronit walk to the Hesped. And David is avoiding them. Mm-hmm. They kind of like make eye contact through like a door, but like he's not saying anything. And
he's just looking at her like fuck.
And then while they are like sitting at the Hesped, Ronit finally invites Esty to New York with her. And they hold hands, but she doesn't answer if she'll go or not. And then the uncle announces that David will be the new Rav.
David.
Oh, my God. I wrote it with an O, and I keep saying it. Okay. David will be the new Rav, and he comes to the stage thingy, the pulpit, I guess, to give a speech and is reading from his notes, and then he decides not to use the notes and to go from the heart instead. Mm-hmm. And he points out Ronit. And everyone looks at her, which is kind of awkward. But then he starts talking about how the Rav's last, was about choice and freedom. And he's like, why did he choose to talk about that? And then he says, you are free. And he keeps saying, like, you are free. It's obvious he's telling Esty.
Yeah, he's like looking at her. Yeah.
And Esty cries. And then he says, I can't accept the Rav position because I don't have sufficient understanding. Mm-hmm. And he goes outside. And then Esty goes outside and hugs him. And he invites Ronit to join the hug. And I thought it was so sweet. And I said, he's a good man, Savannah.
He is a good man.
Yeah.
And that's very rare when we do these movies. They usually suck. But he's really sweet.
Yeah. It's hard because I feel like he really loves her. But he ultimately realized, like, it doesn't matter how much you love someone, if they don't want to be with you,
exactly,
like you're making it worse. Mm-hmm. Like, it's how can you be happy when you're making them miserable, you know? And so we cut to the morning. Ronit is packing up and leaving. On the way out, David says goodbye, and we see that Esty is sleeping on the couch. Mm-hmm. And he like leaves them to say their goodbye. Mm-hmm. And then they say bye, and Ronit gets into her cab. And as the cab is leaving, Esty runs after it, and they stop the car. And then she gets in there, and they kiss. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, my God. And then Ronit tells Esty that she'll be a brilliant mother and to please, like, keep her aware of where she is. Like, tell me where you land, basically, you know? And then Esty gets out of the car and they both cry like as the car drives away. And then Ronit asks to make a small detour to go to the cemetery and takes a picture of her dad's grave. Mm-hmm. And that is the end. So now is the moment you've all been waiting for. Our version of Fuck, Marry, Kill, Munch, Merge, Murder. Okay, this was really hard because there were not a lot of women in this besides the two main ones.
Yeah.
So it was like a struggle to find a third one.
I was thinking that maybe we could have put the aunt.
I thought so too, but then I don't know. I felt like, well, maybe I was wrong. I felt like I liked both Esty and Ronit, so I would have killed the aunt, and then I felt like that was sad.
Yeah, the aunt was really nice. Yeah, she really liked Ronit. And she was like the only one that was nice to her, other than David.
So I put the options as Esty, Ronit, and Rivka, who is just a woman that Esty sees at the store that has two children. Yeah. She seemed nice. She said, oh, I saw Ronit out there.
And then Esty's like, where? Let me go see her. Yeah. And she's like, oh.
Yeah. Okay, so now that you know your options, who would you choose?
Okay, this is kind of hard, but I'm going to munch Esty, and I would merge with Ronit. And then I would have to murder Rivka, even though she seems really nice. Just don't know enough about her. I'd want to live in New York and be with a photographer. She seems cool. She seems nice.
I agree.
And yeah. Are yours the same?
Yes! Okay. Why are we so boring? No, I would do the same. But because, well, I just think that.
Like, are you ready to be a stepmom?
No. That's why I would only munch her. But exactly. Also because I think we've talked about before. I mean, I don't know. What is that song? I ain't got no type. Bad bitches the only thing that I like.
Yeah.
But I kind of do have a type in that I don't think that I don't really like blondes. And I feel like Rachel McAdams is like very blonde and light eyes. And I am more attracted to Rachel.
Dark hair, wise. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, with that
her
makes sense.
Dark hair and her dark hazel eyes. So I would merge with her, and I would munch Esty, and I would murder Rivka. I mean, she seemed nice enough, but sorry.
We got to murder someone, right?
Yeah, obviously. Okay, so I am very curious. What would you rate this movie on a scale of 1 to 5?
This movie was really good. I generally dislike endings like that, but I feel like it was very fitting for the movie. So I would give this movie a 5 out of 5 cherries. What
me
about you?
Too. Yeah. Okay, I was worried. I didn't think you were gonna give it a 5 because they didn't like a end 4 up together. Yeah. But
it was a good movie all around. I can't fault it just for that ending. And I feel like it works out because it's sort of realistic. Like, it's not like a fairy tale ending, which is what I always want.
Yeah.
Because Esty literally is pregnant. She also has to figure out all these things. And so it's not like she can just run away to New York with Ronit. Like, she has to, like, that's why. And Ronit wasn't like, she's not going to come with me. She was like, let me know where you land because I know this is going to take time.
Yeah.
You know, so the more that I think about it, it's fitting.
My wife was like, they need to make a part 2 so we can see where they are now. And then we hope that they got
obedience
together. Like, yeah. Now they're obedient to each other. I don't know. Or like still
something.
Disruption. I don't disruption. Know. I'm trying to keep it with still dis. No, I love it. I wish that they ended up together in parts of me where I'm like, oh my God, they should like go to New York and be together, blah, blah, blah. But I did read like, you know, some people online like talking about basically they outgrew each other and, you know, like.
Essie kind of has to catch up and like her freedom.
She
hasn't experienced it.
Yes, like Ronit has gone and had all of these experiences in New York and with different people and like supporting herself. And Esty has only been in this small little world the whole time. And so almost in a way, I mean, I don't know, not everybody wants to like sow their wild oats or whatever, but I kind of feel like Esty needs to do that. Like, she needs to be like young single lesbian mom and like get to like, you know, try out being with, you know, a different type of
and just
woman,
having
maybe,
like freedom, you know? In general.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, she
doing
has freedom.
Everyday things that she wasn't allowed to do or that she thought like she would never see herself doing. And plus, they got to figure out the whole, like, custody of the child.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Because David is really nice. And I feel like they're going to work something out. But I'm
it
sure,
would be hard,
you know,
to go to a different country.
It would. It would.
Like,
especially,
it would be easier
if
she at least stayed in the UK.
That's true.
Yes. Okay. So if you're enjoying But I'm a Lesbian, please head over to our Instagram and TikTok, that's Tip hard top. To say. Tip top, TikTok, and follow to stay up to date on our newest episodes and hottest takes. Before we go to our last break, we want to highlight some amazing products that we were sent. So, look what we have. It's jerky, y'all. But obviously, it's vegan jerky.
What do you have? I have prickly pear chipotle.
Yes. Okay. I have the regular black pepper and sea salt, which sometimes is like the best flavor of things. I haven't tried this brand before, but they seem so cool and so nice. The brand is All Y'all's Foods. It's so Texas, and I love it because so often, you know, when people, I don't know, I think people think of California as like, oh, of course they're vegan or vegetarian, they're in California. But when people think of Texas, that's not what they think of. And I love that this is like, he's like a middle-aged white man that is like, I decided to go vegan one day because I really love cows and I realized I don't want to eat them. And I found out that Texas supplies so much of the cattle for the meat industry. And he's like, what the hell? I want to create something that helps animals. So also, I can't remember the exact amount. I want to say a percentage of every sale that they make goes to like a local farm sanctuary. And I think that's so cool. So anyway, you should try them out. They sell them on Amazon and also they're very active on TikTok. I don't know that they sell them on the TikTok shop, but you should follow them. Yeah. We interact with them a lot because they seem really nice. All y'all's foods. And I'm going to try them on the break and then I'll tell you how delicious they were. I'm sure they're good. Okay, so we will – oh, I wanted to tell you all before – I'm really glad that this is airing right before Thanksgiving because they do have like a little 5-pack variety pack that comes with the different flavors and then two like toppings. Like they have like a bacon bits and like a cheesy bits topping like for salads and stuff. And I think it would be a really cool thing to get if you have like any like veg curious or vegetarian or vegan like family or friends for like a little Christmas thing, you know? Or if you're having a holiday thing and there's nothing for your vegan cousin to eat, you could get them some jerky and they would be so thankful, I'm sure, because I would be thankful if somebody bought me vegan jerky. Anyway, we're going to go on a little break and we'll come back with our segment 3, which is WLW history.
Welcome back and get ready for our next segment, WLW history. This week, we are going to explain the history of Butch and Femme labels, as well as discuss different sapphic sexual preferences and the names for them, because I clearly don't know how to say it. So educate me, Caitlin.
That's funny because sometimes I try to write Butch and my phone autocorrects it to Bitch.
I try to write bitch and it corrects it to butch.
That's so funny. Okay, so this is a really exciting topic for me and probably for other gays. I don't know. I think it's interesting. I'm excited to share my experience because I love to talk about my experiences because I'm a Leo rising. And I don't know. I want to hear yours and I want to talk about some things that I learned. So I think I will start with saying I first heard the terms butch and femme when I was a teenager, so like early 2000s. But this was also like an era of like, no, don't label yourself. You're putting yourself in a box, you know? So it was kind of, to me, at least the people I was around, people didn't use those labels. I have always really only been attracted to more masculine presenting lesbians, but I've never dated someone that specifically like said, I'm a butch or I'm a mask or whatever. I see it a lot with older and younger lesbians. It just, I don't know, my era was very like, we don't use labels. I think it was because it was also the era of like, if you are into something, you have to like prove that you're not a poser.
Oh my
like
God.
That type of thing. So I think that's part of where the like no labels came from. Anyway, also I very much identified with the term lipstick lesbian at that time, which is so, it's such a silly term because it seems like it's saying most lesbians don't wear lipstick. So you're like lipstick lesbian. Is that? I think a lot of lesbians wear lipstick. Anyway, point being, this is all interesting to me. And so we'll get into the history. So butch and femme identities have always existed, but the specific terms seem to have become prevalent in the U.S. in the 1940s. So butches often had to present feminine during the work week and then could dress more masculine at bars on the weekends. So in the 50s, more women started to become full-time butches. So they were like refusing to dress more feminine to like fit in at like a desk job or whatever. And something interesting that I didn't know a lot about until I watched If These Walls Could Talk Too, which we're going to do an episode on, but it's really hard to find it anywhere.
I know.
So probably gonna have to buy it on DVD. But in like the 60s and 70s, in second wave feminism, there was this huge pushback against butch lesbians or mm-hmm. any more masculine presenting lesbians, because it was like viewed as like you're trying to like be a man or mm-hmm. something. And it's like so misunderstood. There are people that were butch lesbians and did transition, but there are also people that are butch lesbians and strongly identify as women. And it's, there are different ways to present. And like I've said before, you can be masculine without being a man or wanting to be a man, and you can be attracted to masculinity without wanting to be with a man.
Yeah.
So I think it's very interesting. So the criticism that many butches met with then in the 60s and 70s and still now is that whole like trying to be men thing. Mm-hmm. And butches have always subverted societal expectations of womanhood by expressing themselves through masculinity. And femmes have always been more than just feminine women. Femmes subvert expectations by expressing femininity outside of patriarchal ideas. So sometimes something that I'll see is people identifying as like hyper femme or mm-hmm. like dressing extremely feminine to the point where it's like, this is obviously to me for other girls. Mm-hmm. and so yeah, so it's interesting. It's just a different type of energy and performance of gender, right? Mm-hmm. Gender is a social construct, if you guys didn't know that. Gender and sex are different. We can talk about that another day. So as many of you know, butch is mainly used in white culture, and stud is mainly used in Black culture for a masculine-leaning lesbian. The term stud can be traced back to the 60s and should not be used by non-Black masculine presenting women to describe themselves. I've mm-hmm. seen a lot of people do this, and I hopefully on accident. I think that a lot of what I've seen is STEM, which is mm-hmm. like stud femme. So like mm-hmm. a butchy femme.
Like in between. What people would call a lesbian. Futch. Remember a
yes. futch? Yes. which I always thought futch meant fat butch. But apparently it also means no, femme butch.
Yeah.
But I've seen fat butches in the early yeah. 2000s use it to describe themselves. Anyway, point being, you shouldn't be using STEM if you're white because it involves stud, and stud refers to Black lesbians. I also thought this was interesting. I tried to find like a more like specific history for the term mask, because literally I've never heard that term until TikTok. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it describes the type of people that I'm attracted to more than butch. Mm-hmm. Because when I see people that identify as mask, mm-hmm. they are often basically, I would say, like a soft butch. Mm-hmm. Like when I think of butch and a lot of women that identify as butch, it is often like blue collar worker, short hair, button ups, which I am also attracted to, but I also be into like a golden retriever mask type of vibe. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. So I can't find a specific history of the term mask. It's just been really popularized recently, and I thought that was interesting. And so there are so many other identifiers that have developed within these different terms, such as like a chopstick lesbian, like I said, mm-hmm. in the middle of a lipstick lesbian that no one uses that term anymore that I know of,
yeah.
but it was really popular in the early 2000s. That was just like a femme lesbian. And so maybe in another episode we can go into like some of these other specific identities, but I really want to talk about sexual preferences and sexual identity in this segment, because it's something that I see people like mix up a lot. They mix mm-hmm. up, like, if someone is a top, then they must be butch, or if someone is butch, they must be a top, mm-hmm. and things like that. And I think that is weird and wrong. So I want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Another thing I think is interesting, which I think I've kind of talked about.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger, I never heard queer women say top or bottom. Mm-hmm. I only heard gay men say that. Mm-hmm. I've literally only heard it within the last 10 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I do feel that people naturally, like, identified in a certain way, but it was never said. Like, I never had the term top or bottom, mm-hmm. but I have also never been with a partner that would want me to top them in those terms. So mm-hmm. I guess I just been lucky that I have only found tops and I was not being specific and asking for them. So a top is someone that takes a more dominant role in sex that is often, well, I laughed at this. My wife laughed at this. But it's true, okay? Often the giver of penetration, not always. A bottom is a more passive role and is often a receiver of penetration, not always. A switch is versatile to both. A stone top or a touch-me-not is someone that prefers to only give and not receive. And a stone bottom or a pillow princess is someone that prefers to receive and not give. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think there's a lot of confusion that people have where people will be like, they think a bottom and a pillow princess are the same thing and they're not. I am a bottom, right? I feel like I basically said that without saying it. But I'm not a pillow princess. And there's nothing wrong with being a pillow princess, but I'm not that. And I want people to understand that. And I've had, like, in the past when I would go get my nails done by, like, a straight woman, she would say, like, oh, well, obviously you don't do anything to your girlfriend, who's now my wife, because, like, you have nails. And I'm like, well, we have other body parts, ma'am. And also there are things that lesbians qualify as sex that don't involve penetration. And did you know, like, that, like, I don't know, how do I describe this? I mean, I'm gonna say, like, a lot of people come from things happening to their clit with nothing being inside of them. So mm-hmm. I'm just saying, there are things that bottoms do that pillow princesses don't do. My understanding is pillow princesses don't do any of those things. Mm-hmm. And stone tops don't want to receive any of those things. Therefore, they're like a perfect match. Match made in heaven.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Another thing that I think is, you know, interesting is there is, like, this weird, when I talk about, like, toxic masculinity within lesbianism or within, like, queer women, mm-hmm. something that I see a lot is this weird, like, somehow people that identify as tops, like, oftentimes talk down about bottoms. And I will never understand this, because don't you need a bottom? Like, if you're like, I just love
there
to fuck somebody.
They're a top that wants a top.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm confused.
Yeah.
So I don't understand that. But yeah, it's a, if you are a top, you probably need somebody that is a switch or a bottom, right? So it's, I don't get
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I really wanted to talk about this because I've been seeing so much stuff online where people just assume that if someone is a butch or a stud, that that means that they're always a top or they're a stone top. And then when they hook up with someone that is more masculine presenting and they're okay with receiving, they're like, that's weird. That gives me the ick. And I'm like, oh, I'm yeah. sorry. Like, you can't just assume what somebody wants. Mm-hmm. You have to talk to them. We have to
communicate.
Use communication
yeah.
like grownups. Like, I don't know. It's just so weird to me. And also something, you know, I've seen is people saying that, like, pillow princesses and or touch me nots are somehow mm-hmm. like less gay than switches, like, because switches do all of these things. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of fucked up to be like, because of your boundary, that means you are not as gay as this other person. Like, yeah. if they say they're gay and they're doing sex stuff with women or they're living their life with a woman, mm-hmm. okay, they're gay. Like, let them be. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just weird. Anyway, I do also want to say that it probably is an important conversation to have when you're first dating someone. And like I said, I've just been lucky because we didn't really use these terms in my weird label-less life before, but I just happened to find people that were the opposite of me. But, like, I think I would be really probably unhappy if I was in a relationship and I found out they were also a bottom, I'm like, okay, well, we're just both going to go down on each other and that's all that's happening. Like, I don't know. I guess it'd be fine. But, you know, just certain things are not going to happen because neither of us would be into it. So do you have anything that you want to add on this topic that I rambled on and on about?
No, I think it was interesting. I think I agree with your definitions and I think I do see that discourse online where people say that bottoms equal pillow princesses and tops are like stone tops and they think it's weird when you're having sex with another woman and they're like, yeah, I also want to like receive this, the same thing that you received. And they're just like, what do you mean? You're a top. You don't want that. Yeah. And I'm like, that's completely different. It's, I think there's just a lot of misconceptions, of course.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to mention too, you know, how we had talked about straight people using these terms.
Yeah, being like, oh my God, I'm such a pillow princess for my boyfriend.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay.
Knock it off.
Sure, but I agree with everything that you said. I agree.
Yeah.
My stamp of approval. I do feel like online, definitely there are a lot of other new terms and new things being brought into this. And sometimes when things are so like popularized, it does get into like the straight people, they just ruin everything. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm pretty
they do.
Sure.
They just like, yeah. And I get that you want to be included because we're cool, but you can't.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't get to be included.
Sometimes things are exclusive,
we
guys.
We don't get included. We didn't get included in a lot of things. We might not even be allowed to get married anymore
exactly.
in a little short time.
Yeah.
We only had it for 10 years if that happens. So no, just leave us alone. I'm pretty sure that if you're a girl that is straight and you just lay there when your boyfriend is like doing stuff to you, that's called like being a starfish. I think there's a whole different term.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
It's not a pillow princess, it's like starfish. So use that term, that's fine. But leave the pillow princesses out of it.
Exactly.
I think there was something else I was gonna say about it, but I forgot. And it's okay. Oh, I was gonna say, I'm throwing this in here because I just am passionate about it. I don't know if this is how all young queer women are or if it's just the ones that I see on TikTok all the time. But to have lesbian sex, you don't need a strap-on.
Oh,
you don't
need
one. I don't understand why this is like somehow on TikTok viewed as like having the backpack with the strap is so important. And if you forget your backpack, you can't fuck your girlfriend when you get to her house.
Yeah.
Do you not have fingers? Do you not have mouths? Do you not have bodies where you can like hump each other? Like, I'm so confused. Why do we need a strap-on? I didn't use a strap-on for years and years, and it's very rarely used. And I feel like I've had sex a lot of times in my life. I've been very satisfied.
I think I'm qualified.
Yeah, I'm 35 years old. I can't tell you. You don't need a strap-on. I saw a TikTok the other day that like really annoyed me. And I feel like they were just trying to be funny, but it was like, when you are on vacation and you meet like the hottest woman ever, but you forgot your strap-on 3,000 miles away, so you can't fuck her. And I was like,
oh my God. It's okay if you see
you
that.
Can like strap-ons, you can like it, but I don't understand how you could still hook up with her and you could
It's not the ultimate way to have sex.
You can still fuck her. Like, what are we talking about, the L word, when the one guy, Mark or whatever, was like, how do two women have sex?
Oh, yeah.
It's not possible for two women to have sex.
But you can't like fuck. Like, men and women can fuck, but like, women and women, they like, you know, do stuff. And Jenny was like, we fuck. Like,
yeah, Shane
she's
was like, are you living under a rock? Like, are you
Shane's
kidding?
Like, I fucked some women. So
it's because there is this emphasis on penises or
being
some sort of
penetration.
Like, there has to be penetration and there has to be something phallic shaped or it doesn't count. And I think it's really weird and heteronormative and I don't like it. But I am not judging you if you like lifelike strap-ons, but I would like a purple sparkly one if I have one.
Yeah.
If I have one. Anywho.
Oh my God, something popped into my head. What? And I'm going to say it. What if we get like a but I'm a lesbian to take out for the fucking strap-on? You know, you can like custom make your own.
Yeah, we should put it as our decoration. Mm-hmm.
Because we're lesbians and we're obsessed with strap-ons. Oh, we have to.
Yeah, like Trisha Cook and Ethan Coen think that we are. Mm-hmm. And we have to go like clean them in the where everybody is. What wasn't Aubrey Plaza was like cleaning all the sex toys in the kitchen?
Margaret was.
Oh, whatever. Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
One of them, they were doing they were cleaning the
point
kitchen.
Being, you can do lots of sex stuff with another woman without a toy, but toys are fine, but you don't need it. If you forgot it and you're in Greece with this woman, you can still have sex with her. You're going to be
in
fine.
This very specific situation. You can.
You can.
You can will do tell it. You all about it.
Anyway, thank
you. DM them.
Yes, I'm like, you guys, I have ideas. okay, so thank you so much for listening to my rant and for listening to us talk about a 5 out of 5 movie.
Yeah.
I would say. Mm-hmm. And thank you for tuning in. We are your go-to for Sapphic Media Reviews, WLW, Drama, and Unfiltered Queer Takes. If you enjoyed this show, please like, share, and subscribe on any platform that you can. And leave us a review to help support the queer community and keep this lesbian-led pod thriving. After all, the algorithm's a bitch, and we're just two lesbians with mics trying to survive.
And don't miss next week's episode. It will be our season finale. Yeah, we will be discussing the lesbian Thanksgiving film Les Bomb. And it's literally like awful.
I was going to be like, is it the bomb? Or is it a bomb?
It's a bomb.
We've already told you. It sucks.
It's available on Tubi, of course.
Of course,
my
it
favorite.
Is.
We will also have an interview with an amazing special guest, Marita Proger from The Ultimatum Queer Love Season 2.
Yay!
So we'll see you next Tuesday.
Executive producers for But I'm a Lesbian are Caitlin Beatty and Angelina Herrera. Produced and mixed by Victoria Shiflett. Creative direction and video editing provided by Juanita Iriarte. Music by Stiletto Falsetto.